Mate, it's not even Christmas.
Facts.
Santa has not been to my house.
Like, Milenkovic was in the air. Lissandro was on the floor and it looked like he was munching ass. It was crazy. Teams like Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City don't slip like Cucurella did. What the f*** does that even mean?
Who is available that's going to want to come to Tottenham?
I think genuinely all of them bar like two or three aren't enough. Obviously this Newcastle side is better than that Bournemouth side, so like do some extrapolation.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw, episode 117. And we are back. It's been a blockbuster of a Premier League weekend, and we are here to cover it all.
It's festive football, mate. Football's coming around thick and fast. We're coming around thick and fast.
The only thing coming around thick and fast around us is Mikel Antonio in his car.
Too soon. But
I hope he's all right.
Yeah, I hope he's all right.
Yeah, no, I think
there was genuine worry that I thought he died.
Yeah, because the club, the West Ham
statement
was really like
vague,
and I was like, oh
and maybe
God.
They didn't know. To be fair, but from
he's
what
stable,
and obviously we
he's
don't
had,
know.
Like, some surgery.
I think
in
he's broke
like,
his leg.
Leg, yeah,
yeah. But yeah, stay safe out there, mate. The wind is no joke.
Yeah, mate. Big storm Dara coming in thick and fast, postponing the early kickoff, which we probably would have spoken about for a large majority of this episode.
Once that game got postponed, it was like pressure on Liverpool because like. The chasing pack could catch,
pick up some
yeah,
points,
they could
yeah.
like get close. But as we'll go on to discuss, pretty decent weekend for Liverpool.
Yeah, all things considered, I think they would have taken this weekend in a heartbeat.
One of the teams in the chasing pack was Chelsea.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll start. Spurs 3, Chelsea 4. Talk to me about that absolute. People saying that's the best fixture in the Premier League these days.
Yeah, but not because they're the two best teams in the Premier League. Because their football just like... smash it together. It's like smashing atoms together. It's going to be explosive.
Yeah, it's just...
it's a large hadron collider of football games.
Yeah, you've got like the beef like from the Tommy Tuchel Conte days.
Yeah.
Obviously, London Derby. But yeah, these two teams now, you've got a Chelsea team that's kind of still trying to find its feet under Maresca, but looking good. So many good players in that team.
I mean, sat second in the Premier League.
And then you've got Spurs, I think, in their third year under Ange Postecoglou.
Is it third year?
Or is it second year?
I think it's second year because he's been going on about how he always wins in his second
year.
That's
true. I think they're on a like really stinky run at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, should we start with Spurs? I mean, they went 2-0 up in, what, like 15 minutes?
Yeah, Dom Solanke and then Kulusevski.
Yeah, and it was two slips from Cucurella where Spurs just made absolute the most of it. And
yeah.
You thought, right.
You they must could, as a player, I think, if you make a mistake, like, the odds of it getting punished that, like, badly twice is slim. But yeah. Cucurella got punished.
Yeah, and then he had a massive whine at the kit, man. Which yeah. I thought,
God,
did he tell you to put those boots on or did you just lace them up yourself?
Yeah.
But then after he replaced his boots, it was much better from him.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, even when Spurs were 2-0 inside 15 minutes, you're thinking... this isn't all done and dusted. They're either going to go on and they're going to like put six past them, or they're going to make a right meal of it.
Yeah.
And it was the latter one.
100%. Spurs are a weird side. It's like one of those, like when they went up against Man City, off the run of a few bad fixtures, and when the pressure's off, they seem to start really well. They look like a side that can play.
Yeah.
And in this game, they had... Romero and Van de Ven back as centre-backs, so that must have kind of given them like newfound confidence, and we'll go on to talk about those two. But yeah, electric start, shock Chelsea, cold. But yeah, Spurs, it's this style of play with Ange Postecoglou that I think is a problem, and now you've got Spurs fans that are kind of... when he first came in and they were losing games, but the style of play was exciting, you could kind of...
You give him his dues, like... It's a massive turnaround from the boring, stinky football of all his predecessors. And you think, right, well, I think a lot of sort of the storyline was, well, at least we're playing exciting football.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? The results will come, but at least we're excited to go watch Tottenham again. Now they want more.
Yeah, it's a tricky one because, like, there's a way to kind of... I saw, who was it? I can't remember who was talking about it. But someone was saying that, like, I think it was a fellow Aussie. I can't remember his name, but apparently he did some like coaching with Ange when they were in Australia. And he's saying that like when Ange was winning loads in Australia or in Japan or in Scotland, it was because he had one of the best teams there.
Mm.
But now he doesn't have one of the best teams. He needs a plan B, because when all is going well, use your plan A, play this Ange ball, blow teams away, happy days. But also, you've got to know now that you're not the best team in the land, and you haven't got the best players in the land, especially in this game where you've got a lot of players that are injured. You've started well. Get those two goals and then kind of...
just drop 10 yards.
Drop 10 yards.
And then push your
implement
forward line a little bit further
up. But this brother was like, tune it up. No, still keep going. Keep going. I want more. Do that, but like with brains.
I think so. I completely agree. I think you go 2-0 up against Chelsea and you think, right, well, this Chelsea team, what are they, they're really good at scoring goals.
Mm.
What they're bad at is keeping goals out of the net. So if you score two goals in the first sort of 20 minutes against Chelsea, you're thinking, right, we're probably going to get another few chances.
Mm.
So let's focus on sort of consolidating our back line,
mm.
controlling the game, mm. taking the sting out of it, because you know that like, Chelsea are going to keep trying to hit you hard. Take the sting out of it, control the game, and, you know, set the tempo.
Yeah.
Be masters of your own destiny. But the football that they were playing was so loose.
Suicidal, mate. And yeah, loose as well. So many loose passes. And when you're so high up, you got Chelsea, who are really good in transition. You got Cole Palmer, great ball carrier. So I say a great ball carrier.
Pedro Neto, fantastic, pacey. Really dangerous winger.
Jadon Sancho, pacey.
Dangerous, yeah.
Jackson, pacey. If you give them fucking half a pitch to run into and you've got your players running back and you've got Van de Ven, whose hamstrings are made out of bloody polystyrene, mm. and Romero, who's gone off injured, you're just inviting pressure that's just silly.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it goes back to what you're saying. It's just a lack of plan B.
Mm.
It's a lack of game management, which could potentially cost Ange Postecoglou his job.
Yes. So I'll quickly hit you with some... Spurs sat in 11th, 6 wins, 7 losses.
Mm.
So more losses than wins this season. You can kind of caveat some of it by saying that they've had injuries. Obviously, both their main choice centre-backs have been out for the last few games. Possibly rush them back too early. They both didn't finish this match. Vicario's out injured. Wilson Odebear, new signings, out injured. I don't know how much you can... Bentancur's out injured. But even still... Oh, no, he's not out injured. He's suspended for being a big fat racist.
For being a racist, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think... Yeah, they
I
just
don't
need
think
a plan B.
You can
it's
rely
not good
on
enough.
The injuries card too much. The only thing you maybe sort of look at is the centre-backs. I think you're so sort of rushing for your centre-backs, you need to get Romero and Van de Ven playing as many games as you can. Romero's volatile. He's going to miss like 4 games of the season through red cards anyway, minimum. Mm. Van de Ven, injury prone.
Mm.
He's going to miss, you know, 10 games a season.
I've got an injury prone segment that I want to do at the end of the pod.
And Dragosin, I think, is a very reliable backup.
Hey.
But then you've got like Ben Davies.
Mm.
It's just not, he's not going to step up to a Premier League level, especially not against a team like Chelsea, whose main sort of source of success comes from their forward line.
Yeah, I just don't know if like these players are smart enough to do Ange's system. Like you've got Udogi and Pedro Porro who looked good last season, but the fall off's been crazy. I think Udogi was one of the best fullbacks in the league last season.
Yeah,
he looks really bad at the moment. Pedro Porro going forward is okay defensively, shambolic.
What's really weird with Tottenham though is that like against Bournemouth midweek, they were just so poor. They looked so uninterested.
Mm.
And then they turn up to games where they look interested, but they're just not thinking. Like, it's just, it's silly mistake. The two penalties are cataclysmic, like, losses of head.
That's where I want to go to next. Just bozo decision-making from all of them. So, like, a couple of seasons ago, or last season, you say Romero was, like, the hothead kind of mistakes leaking from him. I wouldn't even say he's that bad now. I'd say you've got Basuma, that tackle... to give away a penalty, absolutely mental decision. You can see it coming away, coming from a mile off. He gave a ball away, and then Chelsea kind of flipped the play over to the other side, came into the box, and he just came out of nowhere and absolutely clarted Pedro Neto? Or Jadon Sancho? I can't remember who it was. Oh, no, I don't know. But yeah, just came out of nowhere and absolutely clattered them. And then, same with Pat Matar-Sarr. Like, Cole Palmer in the box, but going nowhere. He's dribbling the ball out towards the corner flag.
Just let him go.
What are you doing? And It's stuff like that that I just, like, Ange can't account for stuff like that. Like,
no. That's why I do feel for him.
Yeah, like, there's not having plan B is one problem. Players being absolutely fucking dumb is another problem.
Yeah.
And then obviously you've got like the Spurs board that like everyone's getting on from a Spurs fan base point of view. As an outsider looking in, nice new stadium, invested big in the summer. I don't know who's in charge of the investment.
They asked for attacking football.
Yeah.
They've got attacking football.
Like, Dom Solanke, like, you wanted him, you got him kind of thing. Same with Archie Gray, blah, blah, blah. If you don't like these signings now, that's kind of like a hindsight situation. But I think, like, the investment's been good from the board.
Yeah, I mean, I think for how many transfer winners in a row, if you look at, like, Spurs fans, where they've rated themselves as, like, an A or an S tier.
Mm.
So where are the complaints coming from? Because so you can't just sort of say, right, these are good signings, we're excited to see them play. It'd be interesting to see if any Spurs fans want to reply to this, but you can't just keep giving yourselves like these fantastic transfer windows and then turning on Daniel Levy when it's not happening on the pitch. You know,
it's very Spursy.
Yeah, it is. It's like you don't know what you want.
Mm.
You want all these great attacking players. You want to sign young players. You want to sign unproven players. You know, but you know when it doesn't work out or it doesn't seem to be working out, you just do a whole 180 and say it's the complete wrong tactic.
Yeah.
I think the dangerous thing here is if they act irrationally, in my opinion, and get rid of Ange. I think they're 5 points off the top, or off like fifth. So in the space of a game week, they could potentially be in the top five.
More losses than wins. More losses than wins, though.
Yeah, it's just the game management, isn't it? And where does that come down to? Probably Ange.
Probably Ange. Also, the players have got to take some sort of responsibility. I think Spurs fans in this game, though, will... one big decision that didn't go their way. Moises Caicedo absolutely studs up, reckless tackle on Pat Matasar. Referee, the VAR room took a look at it, cleared it. What the hell is going on here?
Oh, mate, I'm so done with VAR. I just think it's ridiculous.
You see, David Cook got the sack.
Thank God for that.
Mad. But yeah, outrageous tackle. Should have been a red card. But if I was a Spurs fan, I wouldn't like use that as an excuse because Kulusevski went and fucking people's elbowed Lavia straight in the dome. So
I think
that should have been a red.
Do Spurs get rid of Ange? That's the main question here, isn't it?
Personally, I'd say no because they've had some good results. They can play.
Mm-hmm.
But 11th, they spent like 200 mil in the summer. They kind of position themselves for a kind of Champions League season.
Yep.
It's not good enough.
No, it's definitely not good, especially when you've got teams like Chelsea who are now sat second in the league. You've got teams like Nottingham Forest.
I was going to say, you're not even Chelsea, because Chelsea are like a big club, but you've got teams like Forest, you've got teams like Brentford, Fulham that are above them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a difficult one. The issue is like, right, you've invested quite heavily in the Ange system.
Mm.
You brought in some players to suit him. He's missing his first choice keeper.
Mm.
You know, it's a difficult time for Tottenham.
And the fixtures are coming thick and fast.
Do you know what? Like, maybe it's just the wrong form at the wrong time.
Mm.
Maybe you see them go on a run where they sort of win 5 out of 6 games and suddenly they're right up in amongst it for the Champions League spots. It's just whether or not you bite the bullet. I don't have the answer. I think you've got to be cautious here. The grass isn't always greener.
Mm.
Who is available that's going to want to come to Tottenham?
Yeah, facts.
And you know, they're still in the Carabao Cup. Could be a bit of silverware. Some long-awaited silverware. Although it's not the most gleaming silverware. It is some sort of cutlery.
I'm loving the Spurs mess at the moment. Happy days. Chelsea, on the other hand...
Are they in a title race?
I think so. Like, Maresca is very like, oh no, we're not in the title race, trying to take the pressure off. He was like, teams like Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City don't slip like Cucurella did. What the fuck does that even mean?
Have you seen Rico Lewis, mate?
What does that even mean? Like, players don't slip over. What are you talking about? He's just trying to take the pressure off.
Yeah.
I think they're looking really good.
I think we have to give him his dues because I think both of us sort of were a bit uninspired by the appointment.
Yeah.
I don't really think his Leicester team were that great, considering the firepower they had in the Championship.
And when we did our preseason predictions, I hadn't seen what he's about. He came in, immediately was like, this dressing room is an absolute joke.
Mm.
Cut out waste, man, like Sterling, Chilwell,
yep.
Mudryk, blah, blah, blah.
Still trying to get Reece James on there, though.
In the bin, mate. But yeah, he's cutthroat. He knows what he wants. He's making...
He's getting the best out of his players.
He's making this team better. And I think, if I was a Chelsea fan, I'd be quietly happy.
Yeah, I think so.
Just keep going about your business, mate.
They are in the title race as it stands.
Because you've got players that are performing at a very high level right now. You've got Saicedo that's playing this right-back role, where he plays right back to start the game, but then will tuck into the midfield and assist Enzo, Palmer, and Lavia.
I mean, Enzo Fernandez, what's happened to him?
Don't like him, but had a good game.
He's had a good couple games recently. He's got 4 in his last 5 or something.
I think when he's not trusted with doing all the defensive work, the defensive side of the game, he looks quite good. If he's a bit further up the pitch,
in the sort of free roaming, an 8. He is really good.
Yeah, when you've got Saicedo and Lavia behind
when
you...
When he's only got a focus on going forward, he's a different player. And we're seeing the player that they spent a lot of money on. I think...
Yeah, good player.
Yeah, I worry an injury to the likes of Cole Palmer could completely derail their season.
Let's talk about Coley Palms, mate. So, 2 penalties, and then you've got the likes of Jamie Carragher. Actually, a lot of pundits, but the one that I remember seeing is Jamie Carragher say... Over the last 18 months, he's been the best player in the Premier League.
But they gave it to Foden.
Yeah. What about Salah? I've seen a lot of Liverpool fans. Because obviously, Jamie Carragher is the face. Or not the face, but a mouthpiece for Liverpool. Like Micah is a mouthpiece for Man City. Like Ian Wright is a mouthpiece for Arsenal. And I've seen a lot of Liverpool fans say that Jamie Carragher doesn't do enough Salah propaganda.
But Salah does his own propaganda, because it's not propaganda, because he just scores goals.
That's facts.
You know, I think for me, the best player of the season in the Premier League has been Mo Salah.
Yeah, 100%.
But Cole Palmer plays a... I don't know. He has to bail Chelsea out so often.
He is really good. I see him go missing more than I see Salah go missing.
Yeah.
Cole Palmer's on more goal involvements than games for Chelsea.
Yeah.
Which is crazy stuff. He's
in a less settled team, under different managers. Yeah, yeah. He has been really... He is... It's a very close debate. Very close debate. And I think, do you know what? They've done an absolute bit of business getting him in.
Yeah, I don't know. Chelsea, happy days for them. I think they're in the title race because the likes of Arsenal and Man City keep slipping up.
Well, I was thinking this earlier, the last few seasons we've seen 90-pointers, we've seen 100-pointer, I think this season could be an 85, 88-pointer.
Oh yeah, 100%, I think less. I think it's maybe won't even hit 80.
You think?
Yeah, I think teams are going to fall off even more than they already have. I think Liverpool are due a slip up. I think Chelsea will eventually start slipping up. Arsenal and Man City are already slipping up.
Yeah, I think Cucurella-esque.
I think teams... The team that will win it will have 5, 6, 7
points,
losses.
80 points.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas we know seasons where teams have won the league with 1 loss or 2 losses.
Well, that's what's so interesting when Man City, are 1-7 and Arsenal, they've dropped, points here and there. And the immediate sort of aftermath of it on social media is fucking out of the title race. They're miles out of the title race. They've done it now. Mate, it's not even Christmas.
Facts.
Santa has not been to my house.
I was going to talk about Arsenal and Man City towards the end because it's just dropped points. I think Man City, there is a bigger problem at hand here. And we've spoken about that. Check out all the other pods. There's a problem going on there. Who knows what? Arsenal, on the other hand, wouldn't say we're out of the title race, but I would say the Fulham game was not a good look for us.
Is it an over-reliance on set pieces?
It is an over-reliance on set pieces. It is funny because... We are fucking banging them in.
Mate, you have turned him into Stoke.
I am, waiting for, a game where we don't score a set piece and then, we lose heads because, we have nothing else.
Just sack Jovic after the game.
But, I don't know. It's one of those where we don't create too much and
that's
that's
the concern, I think.
Yeah.
How many, 3 out of your last 4 goals have been set pieces or something like that? And whilst it's a very sort of, it's a winning games by any means is winning games by any means. Arsenal used to be so, so creative. Like, the most creative team in the league. They didn't fashion chances like Man City did, where Man City was just constant sort of, like, recycling the ball, we go again, and then someone would just pop up with, you know, his better bit of space. Arsenal's forward play was electric. It was liquid. It was champagne football. Maybe Odegaard being out for a little bit, the team sort of getting back together, sort of starting to regel. Or maybe, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be worried if I was an Arsenal fan. I'm not worried.
I've seen people lose their heads.
You go to Fulham and dropping 2 points is the same as Liverpool going to Newcastle and dropping 2 points.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe not as intimidating as James's Park, but Fulham, I think, sit above Newcastle in the league.
Yeah. No, I'm not losing my head. I think there are problems. I think Arteta's trying too many, like, big brain moves, like...
Party at right back.
I know we've got an injury crisis in terms of defensive depth. No Gabriel, no Calafiori, no Ben White. But, like, there's better options. Like, I know he doesn't want to risk... you know, you're talking about, like, he would rather make...
Change one player.
Yeah.
Then you change two players, but in... Yeah.
He's so not doing
of playing,
that.
Like, Gabriel right back.
Yeah.
And then playing Kvyo in centre, like, or I don't know, yeah.
But he's not doing that anymore. Now he's, like... refusing to play like the likes of Miles Lewis-Skelly, moving Partey to somewhere that he doesn't play, moving Timber over to the other side.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, play Miles Lewis-Skelly left back, play Timber right back, play Partey centre mid if you want to play him. He's trying too many big brain things, and then you've got players that are falling off as well, like Martinelli's falling off, Havertz is falling off.
What do you think about Paul Merson's comments on Martinelli?
What?
Saying that it's like ridiculous, it's like the most unfootballer thing he's ever seen. He was off by like a hair.
Yeah.
I think it's
people
mental.
Just losing their composure.
I think it's such an unnecessary attack.
I think people are probably like losing their patience with Martinelli and use that as like an opportunity to kind of like...
any sort of...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's... I don't know. I think Arsenal are a club where they like to pretend that they get behind their players a lot, but they've got their favourites and anyone else is sort of like...
No, I'll back the boys to the end. Fight. I think Martinelli...
We know what he can do.
Yeah, he's dangerous, but...
But he's not the only one not coming up with the numbers.
Yeah, he needs to find
Havertz isn't really coming up with what he was doing before. Benjamin Trossard? Leandro Trossard, he's not really doing what he was doing
before. He's literally just sacks.
He's literally just sacks. Yeah. Odegaard is still so important. Yeah. I just don't think he's putting up the sort of contributions that he was putting up before. Probably like that odd goal. You know, It's a strange time for Arsenal.
I think it all kind of boils down to the... it probably for Man City as well. But obviously, they just won the league, so maybe they didn't think that they needed kind of like to go that extra distance. Mm. But in the summer window, we were only like 5 points off winning the league.
Mm.
Our summer window consisted of Calafiori, good signing, I actually like him. Marino, who we haven't seen enough of, and Raz on loan. That isn't...
inspiring. That's not 5 points.
That's not going to take you to another level.
No.
And I think it's starting to kind of be evident. And like Man City, they didn't reinvest properly in the summer. No. And they're getting the back end of it now. Spurs, they think they had a good window. Maybe it wasn't the best window. I think teams are starting to see now that, like, if you're not smart in the window, there's too many football matches these days. And if your squad isn't good enough, you're going to get found out.
Do you think it's a lack of Man City being... sort of the front runners that Arsenal don't feel that sort of, I don't know, the need to win every single game.
Maybe.
I don't know, but obviously I don't for a minute think that's the case really, because the minute Man City slip up, they're thinking, right, this is do or die.
Yeah. Well, you'd hope so, but I don't know.
It's like underlying like subconscious like mentality. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. And I think when the Arteta train sort of runs off its track, it could be a very messy, messy time for Arsenal because it's going to be a lot of, this guy's got us to like second place finishes, Champions League quarter final, blah, 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 blah. Do you twist? I think it's going to be a very messy time. And if Arsenal don't buck up their ideas, it could be coming a lot sooner than we thought.
100%. There's a lot of teams in the Prem, a lot of big teams, because the little guys, they're loving life right now.
Yeah.
And we'll go on to talk about Man United versus Nottingham Forest.
Maybe
but
the little guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of big guys in the Prem these days that aren't doing what they need to be doing. Newcastle, Arsenal, Man United, Man City.
Tottenham. Even Aston Villa.
But yeah, Man United 2, Nottingham Forest 3.
Ruben Amorim hasn't really got off to the start he would have wanted.
I think this is his first home game.
No, he won his first home game like
against Everton,
4-0 or whatever it was.
This was his next home game. Against a Nottingham Forest side who just got pumped 3-0 by Manchester City.
Yeah.
And then before that, 3-0 by Arsenal.
It was a weird game. I think Forest controlled the game, but they only had 3 shots on target and scored all 3.
Well, yeah, they scored in the first minute of the first half, first minute of the second half, and then cheeky Chris Wood goal.
Mate, Chris Wood. 25 goals for Forest in the Premier League.
Yeah, what guy. Top Prem scorer for the club.
So disrespected.
Very disrespected. But we'll talk about him in a bit. Game started straight for a corner for Nottingham Forest, and you think Man United just came off the back of a game against Arsenal where it was decided by set pieces. Mm. Start the game, be big men, don't concede any stupid early set piece goals. Well, they do.
See straight away.
Milenkovic, we said it and I'll say it every time he comes up, what a signing he is. First minute, bullet header, absolutely bodied Lisandro Martinez.
Mate, why is he even... They should put him up the other end of the pitch with set pieces.
Like, Milenkovic was in the air, Lisandro was on the floor and it looked like he was munching ass. It was crazy. Like, he just absolutely manhandled him. 1-0 Man United. 1-0 Nottingham Forest. Very easy start.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a common theme. Manchester United defending set pieces. Defensively, they're still going to be all over the place. Especially when he plays with that midfield too. It's not secure, is it? It's not a shield for your back line.
No, when I look at Arsenal, I look at a team of like big units. You got Declan Rice, you've got both our centre-backs. Calafiori, big man.
Man City, the same. When they've got a fully good team, they've got Rodri, Ake, Akanji.
But I look at his Man United team. You got Lenny Yoro. I like him a lot, but he's skinny.
Yeah,
he looks like he'd get bullied. Lisandro, tiny little man. Kobbie Mainoo just doesn't have enough physicality about him.
Dallo's not enough.
Ahmad, tiny little boy.
Yeah.
Garnacho, tiny little boy.
Their biggest player is Rasmus Højlund.
They're going to get physically dominated in both boxes. And you saw that in the Arsenal game. You saw it in this game. He's got not enough. And then Onana's not a secure enough goalkeeper to come out and claim these crosses.
No. I think he was scapegoated a lot early on for Man United. But he does have the occasional stinky game, and this was definitely one of them.
Absolute bozo moment for the second Forest goal.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's going to take time. It's going to take time.
Yeah, I wouldn't panic.
And
like,
I think immediately when Amery came in, the football has been better.
Yeah, you can see like a clear style of play developing, the three at the back with the two in the midfield.
He must have just come into that Man United squad, looked at the first training session and gone, holy shit.
These guys are...
Mate, what have you spent 600 million on over the last 3 years?
And that might be one of the reasons why Dan Ashworth has got the sack.
Well, that's another mental thing as well. He's on gardening leave for 6 months.
Yeah.
You pay £3 million in compensation and then you sack him when his tenure's been shorter than his gardening leave.
Actually, mental stuff. I don't understand.
I thought Ratcliffe was going to come in and he's going to be business. Bringing in the business men to do the big business. Turn Manchester City into Manchester City.
United.
Manchester United.
Into Manchester
into
City.
Into Manchester City. Mm. Bringing over Omar Berada. Mm. You know, doing the work.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's more sort of instability around the club than there were when the Glazers were mainly in charge. You know, it's, Old Trafford is falling down.
Mm.
They've got a plethora of players who don't even see the light of day anymore. The only sort of guiding light they've got now is the Portuguese man who I think holds himself very well.
Mm.
I think Amorim speaks well. Maybe he's speaking a little too much.
What's he been saying?
I don't know. So he's talking about how he doesn't like the songs the fans are singing. Oh. He appreciates that the fans are supporting him. And I don't know. It's just a little bit of waffle. I just think he's got a big job in his hands. It's going to take time and patience. You need to nurture this. The club needs to unify around something. Make it this manager.
Yeah, 100%.
Give him the time. And United have to... They need to go somewhat big in January. They need to make some really smart signings and give Amorim the wheel.
I think right off the season, as mad as it is to say in December, but... And I'm sure he's already started doing this, but in my opinion, the long and short of it is...
Clear house.
So many of these players are not good enough.
Mate, I just think, like...
Like, it's easier to say the players that are good enough than aren't.
Yeah, I think you literally... You build around... I think you keep Onana. I think out of the defensive line...
Wouldn't even keep Onana.
Maybe Dallo and
I'd
Yoro.
Probably keep Dallo and Yoro. Maybe not even Dallo.
Yeah.
In the midfield.
Mainoo.
I'm losing faith in that kid as well.
I'd keep him. I haven't seen anything of Ugarte to suggest that he's a
No, but you've spent 50 mil, keep him.
Bruno is the only one I think is 100% certain keep.
Get rid of that Don, mate. Like, he is so techie. He is so good. But he is just not conducive to what Manchester United want going forward. He is toxic. He is fucking a little baby that throws his toys out of the pram. He just doesn't like putting enough of a shift every single game. He's not captain material. And you can see it in this game. Like, yes, he hit the bar. He had some world-class moments. He's a world-class player. But when you're getting the pressure put on you, you're playing against a Nottingham Forest side that you should be beating. I don't know. He's just not the guy that's going to dictate the game, take the game by the scruff of the neck, and pull you out of this shit situation that you're in. I think get rid of him. Get rid of Rashford. Build around Hoyland.
But he's injury prone.
Get rid of fucking... Maybe keep Ahmad. Get rid of Garnacho. I think genuinely all of them, bar like two or three, aren't enough.
Yeah. Easy said than done, though, isn't it?
It is. But it
what is their ceiling this season? Because I think with a little bit of investment in January...
With a little bit...
I have a lot of faith in Ruben Amorim. I think he's real, real top-class manager.
Brother, you had them finishing third with Erik ten Hag, so I don't even want to know.
No, I foresaw this.
Amorim
will be my saviour.
Yeah.
This is copium.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think a little bit of investment. I think, mate, just go to Sporting and just give them money they can't refuse.
For Gyökeres.
Ignacio, like, just like half their team.
Yeah, just give him, yeah.
Just see if you could do a sneaky deal where you just switch, like, half your players.
So do what Ten Hag did with Ajax, but again, with Sporting.
Yes.
Yeah, just take clubs, managers, players.
If it didn't work the first time round, it will work the second time round. Have faith. But yeah, I think for me, like, if they finish in any European spot this season, it'd be a good season.
I think it's almost in their interest not to do that.
Yeah.
Just give him a week training session each time to build this team. Because good grief, they start getting... You already know, like, half their team's injury prone. If you start playing European football, especially, like, shit European football that's on Thursday nights, and you're travelling to Uzbekistan...
That's what they've got this year.
Yeah. They just need a season without that.
Maybe.
Put the money. I don't know. Forest sick, though. They're in fifth. 7 wins, 4 draws, 4 losses.
I don't know. It's going to be a weird... They are just a good team.
What did you say a couple of weeks ago?
I do think that they will have a fall-off.
You were like, it can't get any better than this.
Yeah.
It can only get worse.
But Man United aren't a good team anymore.
Verbatim. No, it's facts, yeah.
It's always a good result when you beat Man United at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
I
think it's the first time they've ever done... The first time they've ever done twice in a row at Old Trafford.
Mental. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be... They've had the high of their season already. If it gets any higher, then it would be... I'll eat my shorts, you know?
Yeah, this is exactly what you said a couple of weeks ago. It's getting higher.
I don't... For how long?
I know.
The games will be coming thick and fast.
Trust Nuno, apparently.
But Nuno, I don't know. He's peddling along, isn't he?
Yeah, come on. Right, last game that I want to talk about. There's a couple of other good games, but the last one I want to talk about is Brentford 4, Newcastle 2. I want to talk about this game because Brentford are, I think, the Premier League enigma.
Yes.
So their form at home is the best in the Premier League.
Yeah, they're top of the league. If you took the Premier League table and split it into home and away, they would be top of the Premier League table for home games and second from bottom in the away games.
Precisely that. So at home, 7 wins, 1 draw, 0 losses. Best form in the league, first place. And they're away for
26 goals from at home, which is top, more than any other team.
Cracking stuff. And then away form is, like you said, the second worst in the league. 0 wins away. That's mental as it is. 1 draw, 6 losses.
I think Thomas Frank was interviewed after the game and he said, maybe it was Gary Lineker who asked him, what's going on? Why are you so good at home but so poor on the road? And Thomas Frank literally said, I have no fucking idea.
No, it's mental because, like, I remember a few seasons back, Arsenal were, like, really bad on the road but good at home. And, like, when it's, like, a little bit of kind of, like, a difference, you kind of just leave it and you go, oh, it's kind of just, like, home preference or whatever. But when it's this stark, when it's best in the league to worst in the league, There's definitely something more to it.
I don't know. They must have like some mad change room or something, because the G-Tech Arena is not like a fortress, is it? Like, let's be honest. Lego stadium. There and it's like just loads of sort of like plastic fans.
That's what I'm saying. And like, yeah, the atmosphere isn't crazy. It's not like they're buoyed on by the home fans, but maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe the boys are loving
maybe
it.
Maybe they're either like the zero pressure atmosphere. Maybe it's only like the six hardcore Brentford fans.
Do you know when like play like you go to a World Cup and it's in like some random country and they do like altitude training? Maybe like there's like a different climate inside the G-Tech that other teams aren't ready for. I don't know. But yeah, it's mental. Best to worst form is crazy.
I mean, I think Johan Wisser is like on some crazy run of goals.
Yeah, I think he's on more goals than games at the moment.
He's unbelievable. Brighton and Bournemouth as well.
9 goals like, each in the Prem this season.
Are those two players could be in danger of getting snapped up in January?
I've seen big teams looking at Mbeumo. I think, not that we were literally talking about Newcastle losing to Brentford, but apparently Mbeumo is a target for Newcastle. I've seen Arsenal apparently linked with him. I think Spurs are looking at him as well. I think Mbeumo, said this for a while now, is due a step up. I think he's quality.
Completely agree.
I think he's the one that
we always go like, how is he's like only 26 or something. And you look at him and you think he's like 33.
It's the hairline.
Must be.
It does it to you.
But like, a bigger loss than either of those players would be if Thomas Frank were to...
Well, that was going to be my next question. We've, like we said earlier, big sides dropping off. Obviously, Man United just got a new manager in, but they did actually look at Thomas Frank as one of the options.
Well, another team who looked at Thomas Frank before they signed Big Ange was Tottenham.
Exactly that. West Ham are a bigger side than... but yeah, they're looking really poor at the moment.
I mean, Wolves are a bigger side than...
Probably. But yeah, Thomas Frank, I think... Maybe he is just biding his time waiting for the right move. I don't know what that right move would be. But yeah, I said this at the start of the season. I said Ange would lose his job and Spurs will go get Thomas Frank. I think that's a really good move.
Should have put the money on it, man.
I don't bet anymore. No, I do. One fat stackies.
One a big stack.
But yeah, I don't know. I think Thomas Frank, like you said, is probably the jewel in the crown of this side. Like,
yeah,
they dealt with losing
Ivan Toney.
Before that, they dealt with Watkins.
They lost Ollie Watkins. They lost Ben Rama. They lost Neil Mope in the championship. And they just kept going and going and going.
The club's very well run.
Yeah.
And how much of that is above Thomas Frank? And how much of that is Thomas Frank?
Yeah, I'd don't like Brentford or Thomas Frank, but I think he is a very good manager.
So do I. I think he... Yeah, it would be a wise move for some of the big dons.
Newcastle, though, on the other hand, it's a weird one because
Could he make the move to Newcastle?
Beat Arsenal, beat Man City, drew against Liverpool, beat Tottenham, beat Chelsea in the Carabao, but they can't seem to sort of like beat anyone they should be beating.
Yeah, lost to West Ham, a terrible West Ham team. Lost to this Brentford side, again, like we said, really good at home, so maybe it's not as bad a loss as it looks, but yeah, they probably should be. They sat in 12th, 5 wins, 5 draws, 5 losses. I've seen Newcastle fans starting to turn on Eddie Howe. And like you said, it's a weird one because they've had good results. Obviously, he got them Champions League football. But you were thinking when he got them Champions League football, that was kind of like the moment that this project was going to boom. Big money ownership were going to keep pushing, keep investing.
It would allow them to spend a bit more money. But I think it did the opposite with the UEFA regulations. Yeah. And then you thought, right, well, it's going to be a difficult season in the Champions League. They pulled a group of death, I think PSG, Dortmund and AC Milan. And then they almost got through, sort of petered out a little bit, had a big injury crisis, and people went, that's the cost of playing the Champions League, the top competition in world football.
Yeah, because they almost skipped a few steps, didn't
they? It just sort of happened last year. I don't know, maybe they have hit their ceiling with Eddie Howe,
Yeah, well, like, it's kind of like he was at Bournemouth. Like, he was good, stabilised them as a Prem side, but he was never kind of, like, pushing them any higher than, like, just below mid-table. And maybe that is his level. Like, obviously, this Newcastle side is better than that Bournemouth side. So, like, do some extrapolation. And maybe this Newcastle level is the equivalent of his Bournemouth level, but with a better side. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it is time to move on. Maybe he was the guy to kind of stabilise you as like we said, when he came in, they were fighting relegation. Maybe he was the guy to stabilise you again, get these new guys in, bed in this new ownership, get you cemented back in like top half European football.
He needs to be a bit cutthroat and now looked upgrade.
I think if Newcastle fans, from what I'm gauging on social media, they want more. They've got players that are world beaters. Isak, Gomeris. probably it.
Maybe Anthony Gordon.
Maybe Anthony Gordon, yeah. You've got these players
maybe
that...
Maybe Tino Livramento.
Yeah. You've got these players that should be playing at the highest level, and Newcastle fans are probably worried that
if nothing changes, they won't be here.
Gone, because, yeah, there's... Apparently Man City want Guimaraes. Apparently Arsenal want Isak. Apparently Liverpool want Gordon.
Like, this is the price you pay when you've got good players.
That's the thing.
But you're not, you know... If you're not giving them what they want, they won't stay around.
So, yeah, it's techie time for Newcastle at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, no, interesting. Let us know in the comments down below, Newcastle, if Eddie Howe was to get the sack, what manager would you like to come in and replace him?
Yeah. Moving on to our segments.
Segments.
Howler of the week.
Right, Luke, as you're the segment man, what we got lined up?
QPR heavy segmentation here. Howler of the week goes to the one and only Onel Hernandez, Norwich's... winger. He beefed some QPR fans. You're 2-0 down away at the Madrid Loftus Road Stadium to QPR, who haven't won a game all season at home. Haven't heard.
It's like the opposite of Brentford. Huh? It's like the opposite form to Brentford.
Yeah, mental. And you give it to the fans, and then you can see the goal. Play the clip. Absolutely
howler. Stinker howler from him.
And the man who scored the goal is who's getting best of the rest. Shout out Ryan Colley, 19-year-old Algerian kid. He's had a little bit of a tough time this season, a little bit of injury, sort of got frozen out into the under-21s for seems like a weird reason, something to do with his agent. He's been brought back into the team unexpectedly. Zidane Salah, who's sort of found a bit of form, you know, after a really torrid start, goes down injured after 10 minutes. Ryan Colley comes on, he scores two goals, takes QPR to their first home win of the season against a pretty high-flying Norwich side. And it's just great to see. And he's got even better hair. His hair is phenomenal. Shout out Ryan Colley. If you want to come on the pod, let me know.
Come on. Right. And now we've got Bordeaux Fives. And this week we've got James from Jews Football to give us five predictions to five Premier League matches.
Hello everyone, it's Dudes Football here, and I've been asked by the boys at Bordeaux to give my predictions for five selected Premier League games. First of all, the Merseyside derby, Everton versus Liverpool at Goodison Park. Tricky one. I am a Liverpool fan, but I am the most pessimistic Liverpool fan in the world. No, Everton are in the form of their lives because they won one game 4-0, and we never find it easy there. It's the last one at Goodison as well. I don't think they'll win. I'm going to go over 2-2. Next up, Brentford versus Newcastle. And Newcastle were very, very good against us. I don't know, they got a good result away at Forest. I'm actually going to go over Newcastle. No. I'm going to stick with a draw. 1-1. The third game is Manchester United versus Nottingham Forest. And this, for me, is pretty simple. Forest are starting to lose that great bit of form that they were on. Manchester United, okay, their form's still a little bit indifferent, but... they're getting the best out of players like Rashford and Fernandes now, and I think that'll be a massive difference maker for them. I'm going to go with Manchester United win 3-1. Fourth game, Ipswich versus Bournemouth at Portman Road. To me, this is pretty simple. I'm just going to go with a Bournemouth win here, 2-0. No, actually, 2-1. Ipswich don't impress me at the moment, and Bournemouth are playing fantastic. Finally, it's Tottenham Hotspur versus Chelsea. Tottenham Hotspur, probably the most inconsistent side in world football. Chelsea are on unbelievable form at the moment. However, Anthony Taylor is refereeing this game. But Tottenham also do have a hell of a lot of injuries. But Chelsea are just playing so well right now. It's hard to see them not win this game. And I think they will. I think they'll win it. I actually think it'll be a little bit bad. They won 4-1 there last year, didn't they? That incredible game. I'm going 3-1 Chelsea. Let's go bold.
This week, we've got our first postponed fixture. I was waiting for this to start happening because that just makes all our lives harder. But we had Everton versus Liverpool was one of the predicted fixtures. That got postponed, but he predicted 2-2. So when that game gets played, I'll do some retrospective point scoring, add that to his final score. But right now, we'll go through the four games that did happen. Brentford versus Newcastle. He predicted a 1-1 draw.
It was 4-2 to Brentford, so that's 0 points.
0 points for him there. Man United versus Nottingham Forest, he predicted a home win, 3-1 to Manchester United.
Close, but no cigar. It was actually 3-2 to Nottingham Forest.
Zero points again. But then he followed that up with a big dub 3 points. He predicted 2-1 to Bournemouth against Ipswich.
Very late minute, last minute goal from Diango Ouattara, putting 3 points into his hands.
And Bournemouth's hands. Spurs versus Chelsea, the final game to predict. He predicted a 3-1 Chelsea win. He predicted goals in this game. There was goals. Finished 4-3. That's 1 point.
So he's on 4 points, which isn't actually bad. I think 4 points mid-table.
Yeah, with a game to go.
Yeah.
Very solid work there from James.
Yeah.
Leaderboard's looking all kinds of juicy. You can see it on our social media. It's looking good.
Yeah, as Roz said, he's going to, when the game is actually played, we'll go back and add whatever points James gets onto his score and see where he ends up.
Reminder, he's a Liverpool fan and he predicted 2-2. Yeah. In the Everton-Liverpool games. That'd be interesting.
Last Merseyside Goodison, derby at Goodison. So.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. We'll see when that gets played. Yeah.
As we discussed, the Christmas period is just around the corner. If you do want to cop yourselves, your friends, your family, your loved ones, your dog, a nice football shirt, head over to Classic Football Shirts. Use the link in our description, plus BoardRaw10 at checkout to save yourself a nice little 10% off. And you can get yourself a beautiful little football shirt.
Come on, it's Christmas time. It's cold out here. Get yourself some...
Buy like 5 shirts. It'll be nice and warm.
Yeah, come on. We'll get toasty with it.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Anyway, guys, it's been BoardRaw episode 117. And it's live.